Welcome to AM Best Audio.
Commercial auto and specialty transportation insurers are navigating a complex and evolving market. Rising costs for new trucks and replacement parts, coupled with social inflation and higher reinsurance expenses, are pushing premiums upward, according to Amwin's 2025 Transportation State of the Market report. Limited capacity and heightened scrutiny in specialty classes are reshaping risk management approaches, while regional differences continue to complicate underwriting in this dynamic sector. I'm Lori Chortis for AM Best Audio. Joining us now to discuss that and other key findings from the report is Jennifer Neust. She's Senior Vice President and Transportation Practice Leader at Amwins. Jennifer, welcome. It's so great to speak with you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on AM Best Audio, Lori. Very excited to talk with you today.
Jennifer, what factors are driving rising commercial auto premiums, increasing loss ratios, and constrained market capacity?
Lori, this is a marketplace that I know you've probably had other people coming on before, that it has increasingly had challenges with profitability. It's been over a decade, for the most part, with the exception of a blip during the pandemic, that it's been unprofitable. So there were some trends with social inflation and then the rising trends of third-party litigation funding being more involved, some of this resulting in nuclear verdicts that the industry really wasn't prepared for, and the industry continues to try to correct for. So it's just one of those things that continues the rising costs. I really think it's easy to point to these things. We see them in so many articles, right? Nuclear verdict, social inflation, third-party litigation funding. But the industry, there's a lot more that could be done. I think there's some subjects that a lot of folks are not talking about or looking at as also contributing to that. And one I think that's huge is claims handling. We have a lot of claims professionals retiring, and the development of talent in that area has not necessarily kept pace with the retirements that are coming. So many people are talking about AI investments and claims to help with a lot of the administrative load and stuff like that, but it ignores the fact that we need more talent in the industry that could really help with the nuances of handling these claims. The plaintiff bar is very organized. So that's where a lot of this like reptile theory is one thing that was really used in a lot of the social inflation and pushing more insurers to settle claims so they wouldn't make it to court. But that's increased costs on all these different claims, because claims that used to be settled for $10,000 are now settled for $100,000. So those nuclear verdicts, while they do set the tone where, hey, a verdict could be $50 million, it's really those claims on a daily basis that are going from $10,000 to $100,000 or things like that. I also see another thing that industry, some of the carriers especially, are increasingly looking at is premium leakage. And that's inappropriate reporting of whether that's miles or units or stuff like that, where the insurance carriers aren't capturing all the premium for the exposures they're insuring. So those are a few factors that continue to contribute to the profitability issues in the industry.
Jennifer, with rising tariffs, supply chain issues, and higher replacement costs, how are fleet operations being affected, and how are insurers' coverage needs evolving?
Yes, I would say the biggest part of this, especially surrounding tariffs, has been the uncertainty. You know, how much tariff are we going to see? Is it actually enacted? It's been very difficult for business owners to plan overall. And when you have segments such as the trucking industry that runs on very thin margins, we've actually been seeing some motor carriers going out of business because the costs have increased. They're not profitable. They don't know what to expect going forward. So many are making the decision to shutter their doors, including longstanding family operations, some hundreds of units that they're operating. So we've definitely seen that. Another thing we see is that some of the industry is maybe slowing down on replacing their equipment because of increased costs. So that potentially brings you more risk on the maintenance front when people are operating older equipment. And then also that may actually slow adoption of some of the safety tech, for example, automatic braking that comes standard on a lot of these vehicles, or other options people might upgrade to when they purchase a new unit. So those are just a few of those dynamics. And then the other thing is just when they're dealing with more cost, many times they start looking at where they can trim cost. And insurance is one of those areas where maybe they choose to go with a policy that doesn't have as much of the bells and whistles type coverage, or they may even, in regards to excess liability, they're reducing limits. So they're not carrying as much liability limit because of the affordability of it.
You talked earlier about rising litigation costs and nuclear verdicts. In what ways are they and other legal pressures influencing underwriting appetite across the transportation sector?
Yes, there's definitely quite a few different ways we see this playing out in the industry. One that I think is happening, especially within the last year or two, that has been particularly painful for larger insureds is that in excess liability, many insurers are cutting their capacity to where they used to put up $5 million layers. Now they're only willing to put up $2 to $2.5 million layers. So that means the tower, the insurance tower, is becoming a lot more fractured, and we need a lot more players to come into the market and be able to fill up that tower for us. So I'll say that has helped with some new entrants, but because the layers are smaller, maybe they're a little bit more willing to take the risk. But just knowing that the frequency of those nuclear verdicts, and then what they call thermonuclear verdicts, which would be above 100 million, is more regular, it's causing them to restrict their appetite, where they're actually decreasing the amount of insurance they're willing to put up. Also, I would say it puts a lot more pressure on risk selection as a solution to combat the profitability issues. So people are looking at different elements that they believe drive higher litigation costs. And one of those that's easy is territory. Where are they operating? So one thing that more carriers are asking for is to be able to view the telematics data for insureds, because that gives them a very refined picture of where people are actually operating. One example I love to use is typically in trucking, we're using IFTA reports where they're reporting mileage by state. So you're really only seeing, oh, they run 1 million miles in Illinois every year. Whereas when you get the telematics data, now you can see, oh, are they actually running miles in Chicago, which is considered a judicial hellhole, or are they mostly operating in what I like to say the land of cornfields and McDonald's, where there's just not as much exposure to even being in accidents because you're out on the interstate in the middle of cornfields or whatever, and maybe there's not as much severity involved in, you know, because there's more places where vehicles can go without hitting things.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
Jennifer, when you look at specialty classes like cannabis delivery, hazmat, and passenger transport, what's pushing those classes into the E&S market, and how are insurers adapting?
Right. So obviously the the E&S market is a place to help with a lot of those specialized risks, especially when they're seen as higher risk and require more problem solving to figure out how to insure it. So, you know, those are all different, very different classes. And, you know, if you're having package underwriters at a standard lines market or a regional market, auto is something that's not necessarily their expertise. So then when you also add on different nuances, whether that's cannabis delivery or hazmat or things like that, it increases the complexity. So it really lends itself more nicely to someone who's truly an auto expert and can understand the auto specific exposures to each of those niches. And I would say one I want to particularly point out is the passenger transport classes are becoming more and more difficult to place. And that would include anything from charter buses to non-emergency medical transport. So we've actually even seen E&S markets are tightening up their appetite. People that write these classes, there's now different elements of the risk that maybe they're not willing to write. So they're actually declining more of these passenger transport classes. And then what happens is the marketplace shrinks. So then the people that are still in it can get healthier premiums. It's just a matter of that really covers the loss exposure. They may also be asking for people to take on bigger liability deductibles to counteract that. And I mean, the last note I would make is it's really difficult for new entrants to come in to some of these seemingly like higher risk categories because the reinsurers don't have the appetite for it either. So when you can't get reinsurance backing, it makes it very difficult for, say, new MGAs to enter into that space to begin. Typically, they have to enter in a space that there's more reinsurance appetite for, which increases competition there. And then they have to gradually build into doing some of those classes where there's not as much competition. So that actually suppresses rates some more in the more of the middle of the market, average risk, you know, less risky type of business.
Right, exactly, yes. How are geographic disparities and limited capacity in states such as New York, Georgia, California, Texas, and Illinois, how are they affecting underwriting strategies and risk placement?
Right, so these territories continue to be typically just less friendly as far as litigation, although we are seeing some progress on the litigation front in states such as Georgia that's passed some litigation reform. But because it takes so long to really see what the impacts of that is, a lot of the underwriting strategy is still around restricting their underwriting box in those states. So ways they do that is not necessarily just if a risk is domiciled there, they're not going to insure it, or if risks have terminals there, people are actually looking at the amount of miles they're driving in those states. So sometimes people adjust their appetites to say, if they have more than 50% of their miles in one of those states, then it's ineligible for their program or things like that.
We've certainly seen a rise of new and emerging technologies in the transportation sector in recent years. Jennifer, how are technology-driven tools like telematics, safety cameras, and data analytics improving risk management? And what opportunities and trends in the market should brokers and insurers be focusing on over the next 3 to 5 years?
Right. So it's been exciting to see the development of technology like the telematics devices, the cameras, and the data that can bring to the table. I'll say, you know, there's quite a few vendors out there that are now overlaying AI onto that data to really make it easier for risks to digest in more meaningful ways. And then now it's going as far as some camera companies, they actually have in-cab alerts. So it'll alert the driver if, say, they don't have their seatbelt on or you know, maybe there's something driving behaviorally wise that needs to be corrected. So it's actually gotten to the point where instead of just reviewing video later, it's alerting the driver in the cab so they can correct it at that time. So, but then also you can do a lot with scorecards and gamifying things. So your drivers, you can make it fun for them to perform better and reward them. I actually see people where they'll even put drivers on teams together. So then the drivers are helping lift each other up, and just having all this data available really makes things like that possible, which I think are really exciting. The trend I think like brokers and insurers should look out for is, you know, there's all these different tech platforms that are collecting massive amounts of data. And then there's also tech platforms that are just ingesting even public data or data they can gather more publicly. And those companies are looking at insurance as another way really to monetize what they're doing. So it's how can they bring that data to the table for an insurance company? And if that's not public data, then it requires the insured's permission. This is really what the trend has been with regards to telematics, that now, since there's so many different telematics companies, there are now a few different companies that will actually aggregate the telematics data from all these different platforms into one platform for an insurance company. So you go and ask the insured permission to view their data, and there's a consent that's completed where they share the data with the third party vendor, and then that is put into a portal that's viewable for the underwriter or for your loss prevention representative that's working with accounts. And there's different ways that it's being digested. So I think that's, we're definitely going to see more of that trend where people are going to be trying to see what data can I bring that's meaningful, that will help underwriters select risk better, that will help loss prevention representatives better work with insureds to mitigate risk. You know, also some of that may even go as far as your actuarial, and does it more into data science as far as driving that data into pricing models. So I think there's a lot to look out for on that front that could evolve fairly quickly in the next 5 years.
Jennifer, this has been fascinating, so informative, and it's been a pleasure. And I'd like to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you, Lori. Appreciate the opportunity and hope you have a great day.
You also. That was Jennifer Neust, Senior Vice President and Transportation Practice Leader at Amwins. For AM Best Audio, I'm Lori Chortis.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.